Okay, ready to dive into a case that'll make you really think about helping out friends and neighbors.
Oh, absolutely.
This is Henry Winthrop.
Yeah.
It's a wild one.
Yeah, this one's got it all.
It does. Wills, powers of attorney, dementia, missing money,
Oh, yeah.
a lawyer who ends up suspended for 2 whole years, and our listeners prepping for a legal ethics exam.
Oh, perfect timing.
Talk about timely, right?
Definitive.
So, let's break down exactly what happened in this case, why this lawyer got into so much trouble,
Yeah.
and the big lessons we can all learn from it.
Absolutely. What's so interesting here is how fast things can go wrong, you know? You start with a simple situation,
Right.
trying to help someone out, and boom, suddenly you're in an ethical nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a great example of why you got to be so careful with vulnerable clients, especially when other people are involved.
For sure. So let's set the scene.
Yeah.
We've got Corrine Rice. She's 92.
Okay.
She's got dementia.
Well.
And her neighbor, a guy named Freak Nobani, who also happens to be friends with our attorney, Peter Winthrop, steps up to help her manage her affairs. Sounds like a good guy,
Okay.
right?
Yeah, first glance, totally.
So Nobani asks Winthrop to draft a power of attorney
Okay.
so he can handle her finances. And this is where things start to get a little dicey.
All right, how so?
Well, instead of using that standard Illinois form,
Right.
Winthrop drafts one himself and adds a clause that basically protects Nobani from liability.
Ooh, okay. Red flag number one.
Right. Adding that clause seems a little suspicious, especially with Rice's, you know, with her dementia and all.
Yeah, for sure. Did the court have a problem with that?
It's interesting they didn't.
Really?
Yeah. The court compared Winthrop's version to that Illinois form, and they said it didn't really give Nobani any unusual powers
Huh.
or take away any of Rice's protections.
So the power of attorney itself wasn't the issue.
Exactly. So then what was it?
Well, get this. Nobani ends up taking $87,000
Whoa.
from one of Rice's accounts. And when he's at the bank
No way.
during the withdrawal,
Oh my
but
gosh.
claims he had no idea what Nobani was doing.
Wait, he's at the bank while his friend's taking all this money from this woman with dementia,
Yeah.
and he says he didn't know? Come on.
Right. And to make things even worse, the banker was so uncomfortable with this whole thing, I
Yeah, yeah.
bet that they called the police.
Wow.
Yeah, this is where Winthrop's story starts to fall apart.
Yeah, for sure.
So then, the Protective Legal Organization for the Welfare of Seniors,
PLOWS.
PLOWS, yep.
I know them.
Their attorney, Jana Dutton, she contacts Winthrop to ask about Rice's finances. And this is where Winthrop makes his big mistake.
What did he do?
He lies to Dutton.
Oh, no.
Tells her the banks aren't giving them any money.
He lied to another attorney.
Straight up lied, knowing
Well,
Nobani had already taken that 87 grand.
that's got to be some kind of ethical violation, right?
Big time. This lie goes against Rule 4.1A of the Rules of Professional Conduct.
Which said.
No false statements to a third party.
Okay, yeah.
This lie is what gets the disciplinary process rolling against him under Supreme Court Rule 771.
So, lying to Dutton, that's the turning point in this whole thing. But I gotta ask, what was he thinking?
Right. It seems like he thought he could just smooth things over, protect his friend with a lie. Probably didn't realize how serious it was.
It just shows, even when you're trying to help, we have these rules as lawyers. We can't let friendships get in the way.
Absolutely.
So, what happened to Winthrop? Did he lose his license?
Well, he did get suspended for 2 years.
2 years. Wow.
But here's the thing. This wasn't his first time in trouble.
He'd been in trouble before.
Yeah, Winthrop had a previous suspension
Right.
back in 98, also for dishonesty.
Yeah.
2 years, same as this one. And that previous suspension, that really came back to bite him.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
It made this whole situation much worse for him. It showed a pattern of dishonesty.
Yeah, makes sense. Like, if you mess up once, maybe it's a mistake. But twice, that's a pattern. It makes you look untrustworthy.
Exactly. And in Winthrop's case, it raised those red flags about whether he should even be practicing law.
Yeah, I see that. So the court had to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Suspension again, or something worse?
Right, like disbarment. It's a complicated process, weighing all these
Can I
factors.
imagine?
What kind of factors?
Well, you have the ARDC. They investigate and prosecute these cases. They have to prove Winthrop did something wrong. And they need strong evidence. Clear and convincing evidence is the standard,
Higher than usual.
much higher than just proving something's more likely than not.
Got it. So what made Winthrop's case worse?
That earlier suspension for dishonesty, that was huge. Big red flag,
Yeah.
showed this wasn't a one-time thing. And then you've got the victim,
Rice.
Right, Rice, a 92-year-old with dementia, makes everything Winthrop did look even worse.
Taking advantage of someone like that? Yeah, that's bad.
Really bad. But there were some things that helped Winthrop's case, too.
Like what? The court said there's no proof Winthrop took any of that money for himself.
So he wasn't trying to enrich himself.
Seems like he thought he was helping Rice, even though, in the end, he hurt her.
So good intentions, but still messed up.
Exactly. But the court was clear, even good intentions don't excuse lying. The rules are the rules. Lawyers have to follow them, no matter what.
This case really shows how tough it can be, balancing personal stuff with your duty as a lawyer. He wanted to help his friend, but he crossed the line.
Tough lesson for any lawyer, that's for sure. It also shows how important it is to see those warning signs early on.
Yeah.
Conflicts of interest, a vulnerable client, pressure from someone else.
Right.
Winthrop should have stepped back, asked for advice before things got this bad.
Okay, so let's talk about that whole disciplinary process. Mm. I heard there was some disagreement between the hearing board and the review board.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So the hearing board, they heard the evidence first. They actually wanted to drop all the charges against Winthrop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they weren't convinced he was guilty. They thought some of what he did was shady, but they believed him when he said he was just trying to help.
So they gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Pretty much. But then the review board looked at the same evidence.
Yeah.
They focused on that lie to Jana Dutton, said it was clearly against the rules. They wanted him suspended for 2 years.
And what did the Illinois Supreme Court say?
They agreed with the review board, 2-year suspension. It's interesting, isn't it?
It is. It shows that even with these ethical cases, there can be different opinions.
Definitely. It's not always black and white. Different people see the same facts, come to different conclusions.
Makes you think, if Winthrop hadn't appealed that first decision, maybe he would have been okay.
He might have. That appeals process is there for a reason. It makes sure everything's reviewed properly.
Yeah.
In Winthrop's case, appealing made things worse for him.
It does show, you know, that every part of this process is important. It's not over till it's over.
Exactly. Mm. So now let's look at why the court made this decision.
Right.
They really focused on Rule 4.1a about not making false statements to third parties.
Right.
That lie to Dutton.
They said it wasn't just some little white lie. It was meant to mislead her.
To obstruct her investigation.
Exactly. Big difference between that and, you know, like exaggerating and advertising.
Puffery, right.
Puffery, yeah.
Yeah.
Winthrop's lie was deliberate. It had real consequences for Rice.
This case really makes you think about honesty. Even a small lie can have a huge impact. But why just a suspension? Why not disbar him?
That's where all those aggravating and mitigating factors come in.
Right, right.
His previous suspension was bad, and Rice being so vulnerable made things worse. But he didn't take the money for himself. That helped him a little.
Tough for the court to decide. It is. Weighing the bad stuff against the good. In the end, 2 years. But even though he wasn't disbarred, this case is a serious warning for lawyers. For sure. It shows that even small ethical mistakes can have big consequences, especially if it keeps happening. And it really highlights how important it is to be aware of the rules, make good decisions, and get help when you need it.
Okay, so what can we do to avoid ending up like Winthrop? Besides knowing the rules, are there some practical tips?
Well, first off, remember that past discipline never goes away. It makes any new mistake so much worse. Winthrop's past really hurt him this time.
It's like you get one chance, maybe. But after that, people are watching.
Exactly. And second, when you have a vulnerable client, you got to be extra careful. Keep their wishes separate from what other people want. Winthrop got stuck between his friend and his client. And Rice, she's the one who got hurt because of it.
That's such a good point. It's our job to protect our clients, even if it means saying no to their friends and family. Anything else our listeners should keep in mind?
If you're in an investigation and you can't tell the truth, keep quiet. Uh-huh. But never lie. Winthrop learned that the hard way. Noble lies, they don't fly with the rules.
Right. Silence is golden. Deception is deadly. Good takeaway for our listener, especially with that ethics exam coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
Good intentions don't make it okay to make bad choices.
Nope, they don't. And you know, this case shows something important about how lawyers get disciplined.
Okay.
It's not just about punishing the lawyer, it's about protecting people, keeping the whole legal profession trustworthy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Winthrop getting suspended for 2 years, that wasn't nothing. It was the court sending a message.
About
honesty, taking responsibility, putting the client first.
A strong message.
It goes beyond just this case, too. It's about the core values of being a lawyer.
Values that we all need to follow.
Exactly. To keep the public's trust, to make sure the legal system is fair.
So what happened to Winthrop after his suspension? Was he able to practice law again?
He could ask to be reinstated, but it's not easy. He had to prove he learned from his mistakes, show that he's a good person now, and that he can be trusted to practice law again.
Sounds tough.
It is. Losing your license, even for a while, it's a big deal. It's hard to come back from.
Definitely. So the court really takes this stuff seriously.
Oh, absolutely. And they should. You know, being a lawyer, it's a privilege. You can lose it if you don't follow the rules.
Winthrop's story shows that even experienced lawyers can make big mistakes.
Yeah.
It's a reminder for all of us, no matter how long we've been practicing.
Definitely. It's like, we got to keep learning, keep thinking about these things, even if we've been doing this for years. The law changes, new situations pop up, and sometimes it's hard to know what the right thing to do is.
Okay, so for our listener, for any lawyer trying to do things right, what are the big lessons from In re Winthrop?
First, that past discipline, it never really goes away. It makes any new ethical problem much worse. Like, what happened to Winthrop?
Like a warning sign on your back.
Yep, exactly. Second, when your client's vulnerable, you got to build a wall between them and everyone else. Their needs come first, not what their friends or family want. Winthrop tried to please everyone, and it backfired.
Boundaries are so important. Putting your client first, no matter what.
And last but not least, when there's an investigation, sometimes the best thing to do is say nothing.
Right.
But if you do talk, tell the truth. Even a lie with good intentions can ruin your career and make the whole profession look bad.
So, be aware of your past, protect your clients, choose your words wisely.
That's it. Good advice for any lawyer, because it's easy to make mistakes.
Legal ethics, it's not just about passing a test.
Nope.
It's about doing the right thing. Every day.
Every single day.
Well, on that note, we'll leave everyone with that to think about. Remember, legal ethics is about making good choices every day. Until next time, stay curious and stay ethical.